ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Today we continue reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th Canto, Chapter 1, The Curse Upon the Yadu Dynasty, text number 2. Is that right? 2?
1 or 2?
There's only 2. We did that, did one yesterday.
Ye ko pita subahu pandu sutta sapatnai. Ye ko pita subahu pandu sutta sapatnai. Dudutta he lanaka cha grahana dibistan. Dudutta he lanaka cha grahana dibistan. Kritva nimitta mitareta rata samita. Kritva nimitta mitareta rata samita. Hatva nipani raharat hiti baram isha. Hatvani panni raharat chiti baramisha. Ye ko pita subahu pandu sutta sapatnai. Dudyutahe lakachatka hanadi vista. No. Dudyutahe lakachakra hanadi vista. Kritva nimitta mitareta rata samita. Hatva nipani raharat shiti baramisha.
Ta were angered.
Subahu
excessively.
Excessively.
Time and time again.
Pandu
Sutta,
the sons of Pandu,
Sapatnai,
by
their enemies,
Dudyuta,
by duplicitous gambling,
Helana,
insults,
Kachagrahana,
grabbing the hand
of Draupadi,
Adibi,
and
other impetuses.
Tan,
then
the Pandavas.
Kritva,
making.
Nimitam,
the immediate cause.
Itara itarata,
confronting one another
on opposite sides.
Samitan,
all assembled.
Hatva,
killing.
Nipan,
the kings.
Niraharat,
look away once and for all.
Chiti,
of the earth.
Baram,
the burden.
Isha,
the supreme lord.
Translation.
Because the sons of Pandu
were enraged
by the numerous
offenses of
the enemies,
such as
duplicitous gambling,
verbal
insults,
the seizing
of Draupadi's
hair,
and many other
cruel transgressions.
The
Supreme Lord
engaged those
Pandavas as
the immediate cause
to execute
his will.
On the
pretext of the battle of
Kurukshetra,
Lord Krishna
arranged for all the
kings who
were burdening the earth
to assemble with
their armies on
opposite sides
of the battlefield.
And when the Lord killed them through the agency of war, the earth was relieved of its burden. Purport. The Pandavas were repeatedly harassed by the enemies, such as Duryodhana and Dushasana. As innocent young princes, the Pandavas had no enemy, but Duryodhana was constantly plotting against his helpless cousins. The Pandavas were sent to a house of lack, which was later burned to the ground. They were administered poison, and their chaste wife Draupadi was publicly insulted when her hair was pulled and an attempt was made to strip her naked. Throughout these dangers, Lord Sri Krishna constantly protected the Pandavas, who were fully surrendered to him and who knew no shelter other than him. In this verse, the word itaretarata is significant. Previous to the battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna had personally killed many demons, including Putana, Keshi, Agasura and Kamsa. Now, Krishna wanted to complete his mission of removing the earth burden by killing the remaining impious persons. But as stated here, Kritva Nimittam, the Lord did not personally kill, but empowered his devotees, Arjuna, and the other Pandavas to remove the impious kings. Thus, acting personally and through his immediate expansion, Balaram, as well as by empowering his pure devotees such as the Pandavas, Krishna fully displayed the pastimes of the Yuga avatar by re-establishing religious principles and ridding the world of demons. Although the general purpose of the Kurukshetra battle was to kill the demons, by Krishna's arrangement, some great devotees such as Bhishma also appeared to be inimical towards the Lord. But as described in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, by the words Hatta Gata Sarupam, many great devotees play with the Lord as enemies, and upon being killed by Krishna, return immediately to his abode in the spiritual sky, in their original spiritual bodies. Because God is absolute, by his killing, he simultaneously removed the demons from the earth and encourages his pure devotees. Ye kopita subahu pandupsut the sapatnai, to dutta helana kacha grahana dipistvan, kritvani mitam itare tarata sametam, hatvani pan niraharat shidibaram isha. Translation again. Because the sons of Pandu, enraged by the numerous offenses of their enemies, such as duplicitous gambling, verbal insults, the seizing of Draupadi's hand, and many other cruel transgressions, the Supreme Lord engaged those Pandavas as the immediate cause to execute his will. On the pretext of the battle of Kurukshetra, Lord Krishna arranged for all the kings who were burdening the earth to assemble with their armies on opposite sides of the battlefield. And when the Lord killed them through the agency of war, the earth was relieved of its burden. Om Agyana Timrandasya Gananjana Slakaya Shapsumalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pesaya Padare Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namne Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nimise Sasunyavadi Vasichade Shatarine. Sometimes devotees have this illusion that now that I become a devotee, nothing can go wrong in my life, because now I'm transcendental, so nothing can go wrong and no harm can come to me, and there'll be no difficulties, everything will be smooth sailing, highway all the way. But as we can see from this Srimad Bhagavatam, especially related in the Mahabharata, the example given the Pandavas, such great devotees. In fact, Arjuna is such a close friend of Krishna, was lying on the same bed, joking with Krishna, eating and doing so many activities. So they were very, very close, and in fact they were cousins. Yet, they were put through so many obstacles. They were put through so many difficulties. And despite all these difficulties that they go through, their faith and love for Krishna remain unflinching. This is really a symptom of a pure devotee. As we recited the Shishashtakam, the last verse, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu praying the mood of the gopis that, "My dear Lord, you can do with me as you wish. You can speak to me harshly. You can crush me by your embrace. You can do whatever you want. I'm your servant eternally, unconditionally." There's conditional surrender and there's unconditional surrender. Sometimes when there's war between two countries, they come to some conditional peace agreement. We'll stop the war if you do this and if we do this. But when it's a mighty army come and overtake your country, you just surrender. It's unconditional surrender. They don't have to give any conditions. They just crush. Right through. Or if someone put a gun in your head, surrender. You say, "Yes, I'll surrender on the condition that..." Now you have gun to your head. It's unconditional surrender. Unconditional surrender. So, when our surrender to Krishna is conditioned, we will be subjected to so many conditions. Right? If our devotional service condition, or for example, I'll surrender to Krishna if. What if all the if that we listed do not happen? Then our surrender will be questioned. I'll surrender to Krishna if the sun is shining. So the rest of the time during the winter months I'll be sleeping. It's called the sunshine devotees. The sun is shining today, I'm very enthusiastic. Sun is shining, I'm not enthusiastic. It's called conditional surrender. And in fact, when our surrender to Krishna is conditioned by so many mature things or reasons and all that, it's very, very difficult. The practicing of Krishna consciousness becomes very difficult and very cumbersome. Because as we know from the Bhagavad Gita, in the material world, Krishna said material world is constantly mutable. The situation is changing all the time. The conditions around us is changing all the time. The environment is changing all the time. Everything is changing all the time. So that means our enthusiasm to surrender Krishna will also be changing all the time. Like the stock market. Up and down and up and down. Sometimes it will crash. It goes on a high, and then sometimes a nice guitar, you go on a high, and suddenly you go crashing down, the depression and whatever. So we cannot subject our Krishna consciousness to external conditioning. In fact, Krishna actually surrender to Krishna is really happening in the heart. It's the union between the spirit soul and Krishna. That's actually bhakti, the union, the reciprocation of love between the jiva and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it's not that union, that reciprocation or that relationship is not dependent on any external circumstances. That's why in the example of King Chitraketu, he was traveling on his airplane, surrounded by so many beautiful women, and he came upon Kailash. When he came to Kailash, he saw Lord Shiva giving discourses to so many great sages, and Mother Parvati was sitting on his lap, and he just laughed. And Mother Parvati took offense from that, and she cursed him to become a demon. So King Chitraketu just got off his airplane and just offered his obeisances and just accepted it. He was laughing because he thought the irony of the situation, that Lord Shiva in front of so many sages with his wife sitting on his lap, and he also was surrounded by so many beautiful women. It was not like an offensive thing. Then Mother Parvati took offense and he just accepted it. And Lord Shiva, he said, just see, this is the glory of a devotee. It doesn't matter where he is, whether he's in heaven or in hell, he still performs devotional service. So this is actually the mood of a devotee, that doesn't matter where you put him, like a cow, he will give milk. He may be in a heavenly situation or in a hellish situation, he still gives milk, he still gives service. If his situation is very nice, he would say, thank you Krishna, thank you so much for providing so much facilities for me. So let me see how I can use these facilities in your service. And if Krishna take away, then thank you Krishna that to helping me not become attached to all these things. So whatever happens in his life, he just see it as Krishna's mercy. That's the way the devotee, that's the way the devotees see the world or see things. So the Pandavas, they were put through so much, harassed so much by Duryodhana. Duryodhana was relentless in his pursuit of giving trouble to the Pandavas because he was so envious. He was so envious of Maharaj Yudhisthira, and was so envious especially of Bhima. Somehow Bhima was stronger than him and he could not take it. Even when they were children, one time they feed him, then they found a weakness in Bhima. He loves to eat. So he was feeding Bhima. I said, eat all these sweets. Bhima was just stuffing him to eat. But they were lazy with poison. So, and then they throw him into the water, into the river. And thought, good, that's the end of him. But somehow, by the law of nature, by Krishna's arrangement, some fishes came and bite him. And as by biting him, they was also sucking out the poison from his body. And he just woke up, swam back, got up and went home. So despite all the attempts of Duryodhana and his cohorts to harm the Pandavas, to kill Pandavas, they just could not succeed. They invited them to have a holiday in the palace which they built with house of lac. That means very combustible. Somehow they managed to escape. And the worst of all, they insulted his wife in an open assembly. That is, if it happened to any normal person, they would have to go for psychiatric treatment for a long, long time to get over that. To be pulled by the hair that has been washed, and that just performed the Rajasuya sacrifice. It was pulled by the hair into the assembly. And they were trying to undress her in the assembly. And Draupadi was saying, look at my husband, all powerful man. They could not do anything to help me. Because they've lost in the gambling match, lost everything, including the wife. And even Dronacharya was there, Bhishmadeva was there, all could not do anything. And Draupadi was helpless, completely helpless. And who did she turn to? She just threw out one hand, Krishna, please help me. One hand trying to protect herself, one hand open to Krishna. And then she realized after a short while that it's hopeless. How can I even think of protecting myself from this brute Durshasana? He's so much stronger than me. So she gave up both hands, just throw her hands in the air, saying, oh Krishna, oh Govinda. By throwing up both her hands to Krishna, full surrender, Krishna protected. Krishna intervened and supplied unlimited saris. And Durshasana was just pulling and pulling and pulling and pulling big pile of sari on the floor. We open a sari shop. from those saris. And he got tired. Can you imagine Duryodhana? It's crazy. No, warriors in those days, they don't get tired. They can be fighting from sunrise to sundown. They don't get tired so easily. It's not like us, you know. Nowadays, people are so weak. They just do a little physical activities and then, oh man, I'm completely wasted. I'm exhausted. You know, this, but this story, they are big, rude, strong, powerful warriors. I mean, go to Jaipur, you see this museum, the throne of the king is so high, and there's a sword. That is, the handle is like, it's so big. You break it. You want two hands, you have a problem lifting it up. And those guys just one hand, they lift the sword and they were fighting. You can imagine how strong, how big, and powerful they were. And he got tired from pulling on the sari. So this was going on, and they were driven out of their palace. One moment, you've been installed. Maharaj Yudhishthira was installed as the emperor of the world. He performed the Rajasuya sacrifice. You can only perform the Rajasuya sacrifice when you pronounce emperor of the world, when all the other kings surrender to you and accept you as the emperor. That's why before they do that, they send out horses, their army, to different places. Surrender to the emperor or fight. You surrender, you have to give taxes. And they all surrendered and accepted Maharaj Yudhishthira as the emperor. So one moment he was the emperor of the world. Next moment, just by a few throw of the dice, he lost everything. Driven out of the kingdom. The wife insulted. And they went, sent into exile for 13 years, living like hermits. Living a very austere life. And the great devotees. Great devotees. So who say, how can we get this idea in our head that when we are devotees, we are not supposed to have any trouble. We are not supposed to have any difficulties. Now having said that, for the devotees, even though they are faced with great difficulties, because they see how things are related with Krishna, they don't see them as difficulties. They see them as opportunities. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he prays in his song, whatever difficulties I face in my devotional service, I embrace it with the greatest joy. And that is also exemplified in the prayer by Queen Kunti later. After the battle of Kurukshetra, when Krishna was going to go, Queen Kunti ran out and said, you know, when we had all these enemies, you were always with us. But now it seems like all these enemies are gone and you are leaving. So he said, let all these calamities happen to us again and again. We don't mind. Let it happen to us again and again, because then you always have your exhortation. So sometimes the devotees pray for these calamities, because it keeps them on their toes. It keeps them conscious of Krishna. That's what Krishna consciousness means, to be always conscious of Krishna. In fact, in one purport, Prabhupada wrote that one should dovetail his life in such a way that he will always remember Krishna and never forget him. These are the two golden rules in Krishna consciousness. There may be so many rules. You start explaining rules and regulations to people, and sometimes, especially new people, and they get confused, they get scared. So, wow, I lived my life without rules, and suddenly now you expect me to follow so many rules and regulations. Then when you observe that, you say, okay, hang on a minute. Forget about all that. Let's follow these two rules. Alright? Two golden rules. To always remember Krishna and never forget him. Rupa Goswami said, these are the two golden rules. So we do not know the grand plan of Krishna. Krishna is like project manager or whatever in a project. He knows the whole grand plan of everything, what's going on. Sometimes when we are just a small cog in the whole plan, we miss the trees from the forest. We just get so absorbed in our tiny little role, and sometimes we puff ourselves up to be overly important in that small role. It's important, but sometimes we think ourselves overly important. One time, Prabhupada, he was in his room, and one devotee, artist, Pushkar, he came, he has painted a picture of the universe, of Mahavishnu Vishnu and all the universe coming from it. And then just at that time, Tamal Krishna Maharaj came in. That time he was a big man. He was a big manager. So Prabhupada took advantage of the situation. He said, "Just see, Mahavishnu, from the body of Mahavishnu, universes come out. Innumerable universes just emanate from the pore of his skin. And then amongst all these innumerable universes, there's just one tiny universe, our universe. And within this universe, there's so many planets. And then there's one small planet called the Earth planet. And within this Earth planet, there's so many countries. And this country called America. And within this America, there's so many cities. And there's one city called Los Angeles. And within this Los Angeles, there's so many streets, so many houses. And there's this one temple there. And within this temple, there's so many devotees. And then there's this one devotee who thinks he's so great." So Prabhupada was using a situation like just to teach this disciple lesson. So sometimes we just get our head that we are so huge and so big and so great. But we just have to understand that we're just one small part of the grand plan of Krishna. And sometimes because we're just a small part within a grand plan of Krishna, it's difficult, very difficult to see the whole plan. We do not know the whole masterpiece that Krishna is painting. Krishna is painting a whole masterpiece, and we're just a small part of it. An important part, no doubt, but still a small part. So that should give us a bit of humility, right? When we start to understand things in the proper perspective, normally what happens is we try to compare ourselves with other devotees, and then we think, "I'm better than him. I'm better than him. I'm better than her. I'm good. I'm great. I'm big. Actually, I'm really great. I'm better than so many." And then it just gets getting bigger and bigger, you know, popped up. And usually a child comes with a pin, you get deflated. So we just some humility we have to have and see where we are. Try to find our place where we are within this grand plan of Krishna. Krishna is a plan, and it sometimes takes time to manifest. Krishna's plan will manifest according to his time for the best of everyone, for the benefit of everyone. He cannot push it, he cannot force it. We just have to flow along with it. And that's what actually surrender means. To surrender to the plan of Krishna. Serving Krishna means to surrender to the plan of Krishna. You can serve Krishna in so many ways. But if it's devotional service or loving devotional service means serving according to the plan of Krishna, the desire of Krishna. We cannot just speculate and think, I'll do for Krishna this way or that way. You don't have to accept it. Now, it's just like common example. The guru is asking for water. I said, I'll do better than that. I'll bring him milk. But he don't want milk. He wants water. He's thirsty. He wants water. And we bring milk. And they say, milk, cold milk is not good, so I should bring him warm milk. And they come, what is this? Warm milk is not going to quench my thirst. I want water. So one has to understand what is Krishna's plan. But to understand Krishna's plan is difficult. It's not easy. It's again, we are in a tiny spot in a big canvas. How are you going to see Krishna's plan? We're too small. That's why we take instruction. We take instruction from those who see a little bit bigger than us. And then there are others who see a little bigger. And others who see a little bigger. And others who see a little bigger. So in this way we take instruction. That's why it's Tattva Darshana. It's stated in Bhagavad Gita, one should surrender to the spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively. Render service. Because a self-realized soul has seen the truth. As someone who has seen the truth, he can tell us, this is the plan. This is what you should do. And we play our part within our role. Everyone has a role to play. Just like... who was that? Even Duryodhana, he understood that. When he was came in front of his army, he said, wow, we have this Dronacharya, Bhishma there, and so as not to discourage the other kings, he also mentioned the king's name. All of you have a role to play in this army. So all of us have a role to play. And can you imagine, actually, think for a minute. Just think for a minute. How sometimes it seems like our role is so small and some seems to be so insignificant. But the fact of the matter is that we have a role to play within the grand plan of Krishna. Shouldn't that excite us? Just by the fact that we are allowed to have even a small role within the plan of Krishna, that should be exciting enough. That should be encouraging enough. And that should actually make us enthusiastic all the time. So why are we not enthusiastic all the time? Because we lose sight. We lose sight of reality. We lose sight of the perspective. But if we keep our perspective and understand how Krishna has a plan to, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, this holy name will be spread to every town and village. It's already happened. It's just separated by time. It will manifest. And we've been given a role to play in the manifestation of this grand plan of Krishna. But when we lose perspective of that, that's when we lose our enthusiasm in our devotional service. When we get so caught up in our own self, in our own problem, in our own wants and don't wants, that's where we lose perspective. And that's when we lose our enthusiasm and determination. When we get caught in our own selfish desires. So it's important to keep in mind this perspective of how an important role we are playing, even though it's a very small role, it's a very important role within the big plan of Krishna. Because everyone is necessary. Everyone is required. You cannot say any part of the body. Some part of the body may be performing less important role than the brain, for example. But doesn't mean it's less important or doesn't that means it's unnecessary. Everyone has his function. So we all have their function. And Krishna's, why did Krishna come 5,000 years ago? He came with a purpose to release the burden on the earth planet. If you remember, in the beginning of the 10th canto, Mother Earth was overburdened by the military arrangement of all the kings. So she approached Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma together with the demigods approached Vishnu and Svetadvipa. And Krishna instructed Lord Brahma, he said, I'll appear, and I'll appear with my associates to release the burden. So everything leading up to the time of the battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna was just setting the stage. The Pandavas, they were really, when they were harassed, they were pushed and they were pushed and they were pushed and they were pushed. So much so, this bottled up anger was there. Bhima was so wired up. When they touched Draupadi, he said, when Dushasan just show his time, just lift up his dhoti, show his time, which was considered an insult to a chaste lady. Nowadays, you'll be killing everyone. You follow that standard. So he said, it's Duryodhana. Duryodhana. And Bhima said, I'll break his tie. I'll break your tie. And Dushasan, for touching the hair of my queen, I'll cut off your heart and drink your blood. And he did. He carved up Dushasan in battle of Kurukshetra, and the lifter was drinking, but actually he didn't drink the blood, but it was the act of drinking the blood, and it was sent fears throughout the ranks of the Kurukshetra Kaurava army. So all this pent up anger was released, was used by Krishna at the time of the battle of Kurukshetra. And during that time, Arjuna also collected so many weapons. He got his weapon from Lord Shiva. He went to Indra and he got the weapon from Indra. He became so much more powerful during that time. And also during that time, when he also aligned so many other kings on their side. So Krishna was setting the stage. But he would get lost in that little event. I think, I'm such a great devotee of Krishna. Why is this happening to me? Why are we harassed? Why are we thrown out of the palace? Why this, why that? We don't know why. How can we answer why? We can only know why when Krishna revealed it to us. We can also ask why. So many devotees, senior Vaishnavas, gurus, they left the planet. Why? We need them. We need them for the spreading of Krishna consciousness. We need their guidance. Why Krishna took them away? How are we going to know why? Unless Krishna revealed it. Krishna must have a reason. So Krishna definitely has a plan, but it takes time. Sometimes set the stage before things begin to manifest. We just have to have the faith to act in whatever role we are put in, fulfill the role that we've been given, and be part of that plan, be part of the grand plan of Krishna. And gradually things will begin to unfold, and eventually things will unfold in such a way that is most beneficial to everyone. Because the reason for Krishna appearance is that he came to annihilate the miscreants, to re-establish religious principles, and to give pleasure to his devotees. Of all the three, the main reason is to give pleasure to his devotees. To annihilate the miscreants, material energy is already taken care of. By the time factor, they already annihilated them. And to re-establish religious principles, he can also send his representative. They came here to give pleasure to his devotees. to perform his wonderful pastimes and to show. See, you want to enjoy all these different relationships? Come. Come and enjoy with me. Come and join me in my pastimes. So once we just shift our perspective a bit and see how actually and anything that is happening and manifesting is all within the plan of Krishna. And see ourselves in part of that plan and see where we fit in, then things become very exciting. It's very exciting. That whatever, even though sometimes we may be struggling in the role we are acting in, but we see a purpose to that struggle. That this struggle, I may be struggling a bit now, but still is fulfilling a purpose within the grand plan of Krishna. It's not going to go in waste. Every little effort that I'm putting in my devotional service, is fulfilling that grand plan of Krishna. It may not be big, just like during the time of Lord Ramchandra, when he built a bridge across Sri Lanka. Hanuman was carrying these big, huge boulders, and this spider, they were just carrying barely a grain. And think Hanuman said, "Oh, look at this spider." So, but Ramchandra took both services equally. The monkeys, powerful monkeys, they're carrying big boulders, they're acting according to their capacity. And the spider, even though small grain, he was acting according to his capacity. Both were acting fully to their capacity. But they may think, "Oh, what is this one grain going to do in building a bridge to Lanka on the ocean?" But still, it was part of the plan of Ramchandra. They were acting within the plan of Lord Ramchandra to build that bridge, and it was very much appreciated by Ram. So every endeavor that we make, as long as we're acting within this grand scheme of Krishna, and how do we know? We just act according to the instruction of the spiritual master. Then we know we are acting within this plan. Then we can gain strength. We can draw strength from that understanding. This is how we can draw strength. Actually, this is how we can actually remain a constant source for strength for ourselves. We have to know how to draw strength. It's not that all the time we have to rely and lean on someone. You run out of steam, then go to someone, "Oh, Prabhu, charge me up again." And then you get charged up, you go, and get charged. You have to learn actually the art of how to be charged up all the time. So when we actually understand, especially understanding some of the basics of Krishna consciousness, we can become charged up all the time. It just recharges itself. Understanding who we are, what we are doing here, who is Krishna, accepting Krishna as a Supreme Personality of Godhead, I'm His eternal servant, I just want to serve Him. I do whatever I can to serve. And even though sometimes may be difficulty, we draw strength from the prayer of Bhakti Nota Thakur, that whatever difficulty I face in my devotional service, I embrace it with the greatest joy. We draw strength from that. So all this, that when we are reading Bhagavad Gita, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, we're hearing lectures, this is the thing we hear, and we take some of the points and we try to remember them, put into practice, and we draw strength from this thing. The knowledge that we gain. So there are so many sources that we can draw from, to draw strength from. So many sources that we can draw enthusiasm from, determination from. So in this way we can actually be constantly charged up, never run out of steam. When you run out of steam, means when we lose our perspective. That's when we run out of steam. we are lost. We don't see our connection. We lost our connection to Krishna. It's never lost. The connection is never lost. It's always there. But somehow in our mind, in our consciousness, we feel that we have lost the connection. That's when we lose our enthusiasm, our determination. We lost the plot. The same. So we see here from the pages of Bhagavatam how all these different circumstances the Pandavas went through, all these were just Krishna just setting the scene, preparing for the final battle of Kurukshetra, fulfilling one of the mission. He came here to release Mother Earth from the burden of all this too many soldiers and armies. And then later on we'll read also, after most of these soldiers were killed, there was still another problem. The huge Yadava armies. That has to also be released. It'll be explained later also, actually some of these Yadavas were a bit impious. They were a bit envious of Krishna. And start getting a bit too familiar. Like they say, familiarity breeds contempt. Become a little bit familiar. So they have to also be removed. Then the devotees, they also have to be removed and put back in the original position. In the different administrative positions in the universe. And some they have to go back to Godhead. So Krishna just use different situations to disperse them. But externally, you may see why this happened to this devotee, why it can happen to that devotee. Why not? So Krishna is extremely intelligent. Very intelligently he will utilize different situations, circumstances, different personalities, just to fulfill his plans. And within his plans, it also our benefits are included. Because Krishna is a real well-wisher of all living entities. So within his plan is also the benefits of all the living entities. So our benefits, our real interest lies within the plan of Krishna. It's not separated. So therefore we should remember that even in good times, bad times, we should just remember that I'm just a little part within this grand scheme of Krishna. Just somehow or other, just let me play my role. And let me act and do the best I can. Plus, a little more. That's how we should see it. Don't always think, I do my best. We do our best and try to stretch it a little bit more. This is how we expand, increase. Just like when they do exercises, how do they improve? If you have a trainer, they improve. And the time when you really build your muscles is when you stretch it. When you get out of the comfort zone, when you really stretch it, that's when you're building the muscles. Now you go to the gym. So when we really grow in our devotional service is when we stretch it. Sometimes when we get out of our comfort zone, stretch it. Sometimes we're so comfortable in our comfort zone. So cozy. Stretch out a bit. Because when stretching out, we are like sticking our head. The fear is there. Sometimes the fear of the unknown. We stretch out and realize, oh yeah, it can be done. By the mercy of Krishna, anything can be done. So, thank you very much. Any comments? Any questions? Alright. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.